Orla Gilchrist is a volunteer coordinator with the Errigal Arts Festival. Hello, Orla.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well.
Thanks for coming in.
Cheers.
When's the Errigal Arts Festival this year?
The Errigal Arts Festival starts on the 10th of July and it runs till the 26th of July. So we've got 2.5 weeks.
And programme fully finalised at this point?
Absolutely, and it's spread right across the county, you know, so we've got quite a lot going on in the Letterkenny area, some stuff in Ballybuffet, and we're all around the West Donegal area from, we're actually from going all the way from Torrey up to Dunfanaghy, and we also have things all around the Inishowen area, the Isle of Doe, up in McGrory's and Kildare, and Railway Tavern. Loads of places.
It's great that it's so widespread and county-wide, isn't it? It's quite unique in that. Is there similar around the country, is there?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I mean, you know, for a county-wide, a North County-wide festival, it is quite well spread. And the, you know, the breadth and depth of arts events as well is fantastic. You know, we do everything from theatre events to some fantastic music concerts and outdoor spectacles. Like with Lux, the outdoor spectacle company, they're doing something on Aaron Moore and also in the Glebe Gallery this year, which would be fantastic. And we've got walking tours of Donegal. We've got a theatre symposium in the Regional Cultural Centre here in Letterkenny. And we've also got, for the first year ever, the Roots and Folk Festival, which is actually the starting weekend.
Okay, where's that taking place?
That's taking place in Letterkenny between the Regional Cultural Centre and the Clanry Hotel.
Fantastic.
So we've got Moya Brennan and Cormac DeBarra. We've got Sarah Cullen and Bella Chipperfield. So that's quite a cross-collaborative effort, you know, really kind of getting into the depths of the musical background of Donegal.
And is that kind of like the unofficial launch of the festival then? So that weekend kind of a thing?
Well, it is the starting platform for the festival is that weekend, yeah.
It's a massive thing to pull together. I mean, I presume you could almost start working on 2016 now.
Well, actually, you are halfway through working on 2016 now. Yeah, it's a massive undertaking, and we're actually a not-for-profit organisation. You know, we're a registered charity because we get funding from various different bodies, you know, locally and nationally, and it's a very big thing to undertake. So that's why we need so many volunteers as well.
And that really is, it's nice to flag what's coming up, but that's really why we have you in, because there's an information day, isn't there, on Tuesday the 9th of June, that's next Tuesday, in the RCC Letterkenny. What's the real aim of that?
The real aim of that is to just draw people in, get them interested. They're able to ask me questions about what might be coming up, you know. We get a lot of different types of people coming to volunteer. We get people who are new to Letterkenny and are looking to make connections. We get people who are out of work and are maybe looking to get into the arts in some form or other, you know, to get actual work. And the volunteering is a great thing for those people. I mean, I actually started out by volunteering for Errigal and then got work, and you know, I know other people in the organisation who've done that,
and it's fantastic for the CV. You can never underestimate that.
The
employees love to see on the CV.
Absolutely.
Not saying that it's uniquely for those who aren't currently working, but I mean,
it's a fantastic
addition to it.
We would have an awful lot of people who are working who would come in and help out with evening events, you know, and it's a great boost for them. I mean, there are companies like, you know, Primerica that have a community outreach remit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they would encourage their staff, and, you know, I mean, I think a lot of companies would encourage their staff to get out and do community work, and we would be kind of counted under that.
Because it's a great way to get involved in the festival, but also to be assisting it, you know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. You know, and it makes a massive difference to us.
What kind of things would people be doing then? And I know that you could probably be here till midday answering that, but...
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, there'll be a lot of little things that come up each year that, you know, would vary year to year. But in general, we need photographers, we need graphic designers, we need people to come on board as production crew, we need drivers, because, I mean, we have events going so far and wide, and a lot of our volunteers wouldn't drive, so it's really beneficial for us to have people who can drive as well. We need help with distribution of brochures, posters and flyers. We need on-site stewards at events. You know, a lot of our events would cover quite a large geographic area. For example, the things on Aaron Moore, or the things in, you know, the Glebe Gallery, you know, the outdoor events, you know, they do cover quite a geographic spread. And for safety reasons, we would need a lot of people. You're talking about it, people helping to park cars and direct traffic, those sorts of things. Safety issues, you know, covered as well as the, you know, the more hands-on art style things, but also box office at events, and, you know, even for people to actually take part in some of the events, that's a big part as well.
I think a bulb's going here, but I thought the laser lights have been flashed on. Yeah, and so the best way to get the information, see how you can help, see what best fits you, is Tuesday then at the RCC.
Well, we've got one on Tuesday in the RCC.
Right.
We've also got one on Saturday the 27th. So, sorry, the one on Tuesday is from 6pm to 9pm. That's a drop-in information session. So if people are worried about having to be available for 3 hours, that's not an issue. You can just pop in, have a chat with me or somebody else that's there, we'll give you information about events, you know, reassure you about, you know, any concerns you might have, and, you know, then take your information and then get directly in touch afterwards, you know. And the same on the 27th of June, that's a Saturday, the last Saturday of the month, we're going to do one during the day from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. They're both in the Regional Cultural Centre, but I'm also available at volunteers@eaf.ie.
EAF.ie.
So EarlandArtsFestival.ie. So volunteers@eaf.ie, and anybody can get in touch with me there or in our office, on the number 0749168800, they can get in touch with us. All that information is on our website.
You know, if we invite some fantastic, you've invited some fantastic artists into this, but it's also about celebrating our county, promoting our county.
Absolutely.
And you know, you can have a sense of ownership of the festival and of your county by getting involved with this.
Really,
you know,
and also, you know, if you volunteer, you get into events for free.
Yeah, I like that. Know? That sounds good.
I mean, for people who don't have a lot of money or a lot of
is this you know, what I'm doing here resources. Now? Am I sort of classed as volunteer?
I suppose you could be.
So that kind of means I can get some stuff for free.
You could also come on board and do more, you know. We'd be glad
possibly,
to have you.
Possibly, but it's a starting process. Okay,
it's
what can I get in for
process.
Free now? Anyway, but joking aside, there's lots of... I mean, there are obviously stuff that you have to charge to pay people and what have you, but
absolutely,
there's lots of free stuff as well there, all
there
over
are,
the place.
There are some free things, yeah. I mean, if people have a look through our brochure, they're going to see, you know, what different things are available. We've got some really fantastic visual arts exhibitions going on this year across the county. And, you know, we've got one up in Fort Dunree, we've got one in the Roger Casement Room over in Torrey, and there's also one in Church Hill in the Glebe Gallery there, and some really fantastic stuff, you know, and those, and in the RCC, sorry, as well, and also in the County Museum. So, you know, fairly wide. Widespread, and there really is something for absolutely everybody. And one thing I would say to people is, if you haven't heard of it before, give it a chance.
Definitely.
Because that happens year after year. We get people saying, I heard it was amazing and I didn't know anything about it. I mean, a lot of the things we're doing this year are new collaborations, like the Voices and Harps concert on Saturday the 11th. That's a brand new collaboration. That's Moya Brennan, Cormac DeBarra, Sarah Cullen and Bella Chepperfield. So that's called Voices and Harps. It's really, really beautiful, kind of a cross-cultural sort of a folk collaboration, so that's going to be really interesting. And we've got Balkan Rue Sound System, which is a Catalonian, Balkan and Irish sound exploration that's going to be happening in the RCC on Monday the 13th. That, like, some really interesting things happening this year.
And you know, you could go through them all and there's something interesting we could pick out of every one of them. So really the best way, and I imagine what people do, well, I know they do because I've spoken to them, but it's a good idea, is sort of get the brochure and plan, because a lot of them, maybe some of the events happen at the same time, but plan,
absolutely.
You know, you can meander around the place and take in loads of different stuff all over the county, you know,
absolutely.
sort of like a trail almost, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So where can people get the brochure, Orla?
The brochure should be in a multitude of hotels, venues, exhibition spaces, in the Donegal tourism offices, you know, all around the county.
Is it on the interwebs?
It is online as well. You can download it from our website.
EAF.ie.
EAF.ie. And, you know, we've got everything from... We've also got, like, a drive-in movie theatre. We've got some fantastic things happening. And our centrepiece production, actually, this year, that I just want to mention briefly, is called She Knit the Roof.
And
Roof. And it's a really beautiful production by Rasha Gowan. She's the producer. And basically, it's going to be up in the Crawley Old Doll Factory. We're going to be doing 5 nights. That's the last week of the festival, from the Wednesday to the Saturday. And I'm matinee show at 3pm on the Saturday, and that's actually about the history of knitting in Donegal and how a lot of people kept a roof over their family's head by knitting. And it's a very kind of female centric industry that was there. So I'm actually doing a community outreach project as well. It's part of my remit, because we are a charity organisation, so going into schools and into community groups and getting people involved who like to knit. So if anybody out there also wants to volunteer,
yeah, I've done this before, this I think there might have been a book or something. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. There was an event anyway. I've definitely interviewed someone about this culture of knitting in the past, and there were workshops and all to try and get people back involved in it and that type of thing. So it's nice to recognise that as well. It just actually really shows the diversity of this.
Yeah, and the diversity of our county as well.
Exactly.
I mean, it's such a rich history, and I think every year something comes up. I mean, last year it was Fiesta and the dance halls. Mm. Every year something comes up, I think, that really allows people to delve a little deeper into their own personal Donegal history. So I think that's a really nice aspect of the festival.
The festival runs again from?
It's from the 10th of July up until the 26th of July.
Fantastic. So it's bar the shout in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
The drop-in, 6 to 9, RCC Letterkenny, for anyone interested in volunteering. And, you know, there are some perks to that as well. Yeah. There's a second one later in the month with flag. But you're available via the eaf.ie website as well.
Yeah, or at volunteers@eaf.ie. That's my email address.
volunteers@eaf.ie.
Yeah, all of our information is on the website as well.
It is it's a cross county, cross north of the county, and these are based in Letterkenny, so you're open to
well, absolutely. And I mean, I have made connections with people in different parts of the county, up in Inishowen and West Donegal as well. And further down the line, closer to the festival, I may also do drop-in sessions in those areas.
Cool.
You know, it's just at the moment we're kind of centering it in Letterkenny just to get a start on things.
Exactly. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in, Orla.
Thank you, we wish you the best of luck.
July is going to be awesome.
It's going to be fantastic. Yeah.
That's Orla Gilchrist there, volunteer coordinator for the Erigal Arts Festival. You can check out the website eaf.ie. There's brochures in most of the places, like hotels, tourism accommodation, and what have you. Tourist accommodation. Okay, we'll be back with more after the break. And in studio with me now is Owen O'Callaghan. Owen, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's absolutely our pleasure. We're continuing this series of having fantastic musical artists on the weekend edition. It's fantastic. It's great for me. Get to see all you guys performing live. It's brilliant. People might know you better. from Best Boy Grip.
That's right. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, Best Boy Grip has been going for. Well, actually, I'll go back a wee bit. I've been writing songs for a long time.
Yeah.
And about 4 years ago, I decided to start sharing them with the world. And rather than going out under my own name, I went out under the moniker of Best Boy Grip.
Why was that?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, I thought it kind of sounded cool.
It does sound cool, there's no doubt about that. But Owen O'Callaghan's all right as well, but go on.
The biggest problem with Owen O'Callaghan, I mean, you wouldn't get it so much in this part of the world, but in other parts, when you spell it with an E-O-I-N, and even the G-H in the middle of Callaghan, you'd be surprised at how many people get thrown by
O'Callaghan?
Okay, exactly.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So you, quite often whenever, well, it happened whenever my drummer Googled my name and couldn't find it, and I went to see what he'd written, and it was like something E-O...
O-W-A.
It's all over the place, and I thought, well, if you don't know how to spell my name, we're in bother, you know.
So there was nothing to it, like there was no theory behind it whereby you were hiding behind the name a little bit and throwing your stuff out there and see what happened. It was just literally...
Not
it's a
really.
Cool name, let's go with it.
I know what you're saying. Some people possibly want to say things and... I don't know, you know, it's because my face was always there.
Yeah.
You know,
that kind of reminds me a little bit like Damon Albarn, isn't it? You know, when
Damon Albarn, yeah.
You know, we sort of wanted to sort of maybe try something else and separate himself from his Blur days and that type of thing, but that wasn't for you. What age did you start writing songs?
Started writing. I'd say the first finished song was probably 14.
Really?
Maybe about 14.
A lot of people say that when I ask that question. It kind of makes me sick. What was I doing when I was 14?
Well, I had. Well, we were on a CD called Some Nerve, and there was a band. I was in a band called The Droogs.
Thank God for the eye, anyway.
That was taken from a Clogwork Orange song.
Oh, right, okay.
And that was the start of it, and I became the songwriter and stepped in for the singer. And, you know, I did nothing from the age of 18 until I was about, I don't know, 27, 28 or something. I did nothing. I get into cars, started doing up cars.
Different.
Seriously, it was like sticking alloy wheels and things and all that. I mean, right now, all my money goes into buying gear. Like, I mean, studio gear. You know, and...
Thanks for that clarification, by the way. It's Saturday morning and you are a musician.
Exactly. So I've no interest in spending any money on anything stupid like that anymore.
Now, you're releasing an album later this year, and we talked about this last week as well, I think. You're raising funds to do this yourself, yeah?
That's right. I've been independent from the start, to be honest. There have been labels that have come and approached me and talked about putting an album out. And my fear is that you sometimes, well, you can always generally lose something when you sign up.
It's a big decision,
like,
though, to turn down an offer, isn't it? I mean, you're really standing by your artistic merit there when you do that, because,
well, if you've got confidence in your material and you have good confidence in yourself and confidence in the people that you work with, then I say that's just the way the world is going.
You want to put an album out that is completely Owen O'Callaghan, exactly what you want to do it, how you want to produce it, the tracks in what order you want.
Exactly. But I mean, I take advice from people around me. I mean, it's not walking around with this kind of stubborn head on.
Yeah.
You know, you're being smart with your decisions.
It's control, really. Right, I mean, yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't absorb advice and information, but you have full control over what you're putting out.
Exactly. And the problem is that, well, for one, there's not a lot of money going around in this industry, mainly based on things like piracy and various other streaming sites and whatever.
You mentioned the likes of Spotify and that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to be a massive artist. It's a good way to get your music out, but you have to be a huge artist to get worthwhile revenue from it, really, don't you, in this day and age?
Oh, you need to be like Ed Sheeran or something like that to be lifting significant money from something like that. I can still make a living from radio play. I mean, that's how I pay my bills.
Good stuff.
It's PRS. It's checking up Imro.
You're welcome.
Cheers on the job, you see.
Well, we had Imro was last Saturday, but you know the way that works anyway. Definitely. We need your CD anyway. I'm sure we have your stuff here already, but definitely be good to get it. So as it relates to fundraising, it's a pledge campaign. What mechanism are you using?
Well, there's a company called Pledge Music.
Yes.
Right, and they basically set it up where you pick a target and you try to entice people to help you. Basically, you're offering, it's kind of offering them a chance to be part of it, because people actually want to be part of this album and feel like if they hadn't done it, it wouldn't have been produced. And that's, to be honest, that's kind of what would happen. If people didn't get involved, I couldn't afford to spend the money that I need to spend. So much of it is going to be on marketing at the end. People have no idea how much money is spent on an Ed Sheeran single, for instance. You know, a Beyonce track is out $1 million, you know, to get something to number one. It's not just there because it's great music. It's there because $1 million was spent.
The machine was behind it, yeah.
So if you've got someone like me, you know, with a relatively healthy following, trying to compete with anything like that, I need to be putting as much money as I can towards marketing, really. I mean, the cost of producing is nothing because I'm the producer. The engineer is my colleague Liam Craig. And so the money, everything is done in-house. The CD covers are done. I've learned how to make music videos. You know, every single day I've spent learning so that I don't have to outsource anywhere else. The bottom line is, at the very end, the one thing I can't do is gather a pile of grand together for marketing to try and get people to actually hear the finished product. And that's really what Pledge Music is about.
A bit frustrating too that you have to go down that road, but that's the industry that you're in.
Well, a label basically is just a bank. That's what it is. And I'm trying to not have to take a loan. That's really what it's about.
There's a refreshing honesty to that too. Do you know what I mean? It's not, you're not saying it's for this, that and the other. It's that this is the reality of what the money's for.
Yeah.
The album, is it... How far on with this album are you? Because you're setting a September deadline, but...
Yeah, the September 7th is the plan for when it's going to be released. The pledge campaign at the minute is hitting almost 60%. So, you know, you've got 100-plus people who've come forward and, you know, given 10, 15... Some people have given 40, 50 quid.
Brilliant.
And they're buying 3 or 4 T-shirts. They're buying handwritten lyrics that I've written out. They're buying the album on signed vinyl, you know... I should say that the place, if anybody's interested in jumping on this after maybe hearing a bit of music, the website that I use is Best Boy Grip, that's GRIP at the end, bestboygrip.co.uk.
Okay.
And on there, there's a music video. You can hear what the recent track is. And if you scroll half a finger down, you'll find the pledge link.
Okay,
and
then that's there, Best Boy Grip, Best Boy Grip, GRIP dot...
co.uk.
Okay.
See, if you even Google, if you stick Best Boy Grip into Google, it's like one of the first things come up. There are loads and loads of stuff you'll see about. You'll see videos of me playing with the Ulster Orchestra last year. You'll see various sessions I've done BBC all over Six Music. There's loads of stuff on there.
Fantastic.
For people to get excited about. So,
and what's your plans for the summer? Musically. Well, I'm going to Benidorm. No, yeah. I mean, like, what do you do from a music perspective? You're playing any festivals, any gigs coming up?
The summer's really, I've got it set aside for getting this thing finished.
Right.
Because September, I mean, there are a handful of gigs coming up. There's, in June, there are two. There's a thing called Music City, which happens in Derry. And that's on the 21st of June. There's a gig, and that's just going to be in Bennigan's. It's the wee bar up there. And I'm putting on a gig myself on the 26th of June, and that's going to be in Tinnies. And links to all of this stuff is all on my Facebook.
But all roads, Twitter. As far as you're concerned, really, all roads are leading to September 7th for the release of this album.
It's all hands on.
Will you play us a song from it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Well, if you want to head on around, I will say to listeners now, obviously, Owen set himself up here with our mics, so you know what I mean? It's going to sound awesome, but this is not a massive studio production that we're doing here. But you can go ahead now if you want to Owen. And we'll hear something from him. So this is Owen O'Callaghan, who's making his way around. You might know him from Best Boy Grip. That website is bestboygrip.co.uk. And if you wish, you can check out his videos there, and you can also scroll down and get involved in funding this album, which will be released in September. So Owen is in position. Owen, what are you going to play for us?
Well, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Excellent. This is a track called Monster and Me.
Okay, take it away when you're ready.
Cheers.
That's absolutely brilliant there. That's Owen O'Callaghan performing for us live. Sounds fantastic. And you're very welcome back to the programme. Ed Brook-Hitching, good morning.
Hello, thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming on, Ed. We're talking about your book. You name it for us. What is it?
It's called Fox Tossing, Octopus Wrestling and Other Forgotten Sports.
Sounds like average Friday night for me, but anyway.
Good.
No, it doesn't, of course. And it's really a compilation and a collection of the most bizarre sporting activities we as humans have ever come up with.
Yeah, that's right. And the most dangerous and some of the most cruel, but they're all ones that just have been forgotten about and no longer played.
And how far back did you go in researching this book in terms of finding activities?
Yeah, well, I've got about 100 or so of these sports. You know, I started out with one, and it goes back about probably 12,000 years is the earliest one, which is a form of Native American hunting called the Pishkoon, which translates as the deep blood kettle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it was just a way of hunting bison and buffalo in mass numbers, where one chap at the hunting party would disguise himself as a buffalo, position himself between the herd and a cliff, and then the others would make a huge whooping sound, and he'd lead them like lemmings, and they'd all they'd rain down over the cliff while he sort of hid in a nook.
Wow, that we have to go back some time for that type of thing. Fox throwing.
Yeah, fox tossing, fox throwing. Yeah, it's a German sport from mid-17th, early 18th century for the aristocrats, and they would catapult foxes up into the air in much the same way that we play a game of tennis nowadays, just before, you know, dinner, or just kick a ball around. It was a very sophisticated way of entertaining your guests before a dinner party.
Suffice to say, then, that animal welfare in a lot of these was not the foremost thing in people's minds.
No, exactly. I mean, and that's what's interesting to look at the history of these sports, is to see how our sort of morals have evolved and how we no longer, thankfully, treat animals as projectiles. But you have to realize, you know, these were different times.
Of course,
when,
yeah,
daily life was, you know, incredibly difficult. And, you know, one of the most abundant things you have at your disposal are animals, unfortunately. And
but I just wonder, like, you know, you have a group of people at a house board in Germany. I wonder which one says it'll be wild crack, as we say here, to see who can throw this fox the furthest or catapult it into the air, if you know what I mean. It's funny how these things must have come about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think what you can learn from that is that we've always had an eye for an appetite for spectacle. Mm. I'm sure they probably thought it was ridiculous as well. but they just wanted to give their guests, you know, maybe a new entertainment that obviously they wouldn't have seen elsewhere.
Okay, so we also had a form of WOWEE, World Octopus Wrestling Entertainment. What the hell was that?
Well, it was really popular. I mean, it goes back quite far. You know, the octopus always has this attachment as a kind of mythical, terrifying sea monster. But they're very docile and they want to be left alone. But in the 60s in America, octopus wrestling peaked with these, like you say, the World Wrestling Championships. But really, it was like a giant fishing expedition. Divers would enter the sea, you know, search around these coves and try and wrench these animals out of their homes. And there are all these sort of very vicious descriptions of tentacles popping as they eventually succumb. And then you drag your quarry back onto the beach, and whoever had managed to wrestle the largest octopus would win, and they would all get cooked at the local restaurant.
Right. That shows the lack of regard perhaps we had for animals, but we also disregard our own well-being in the name of sport, don't we? There's some bizarre risk-takers and risk-taking.
Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of... this is definitely not an anti-animal book. But those are the most striking sports of the people who... a lot of sports involved required a little bit of insanity, disregard for personal risk. So I think my favorite one of those is probably balloon jumping from the 1920s, which sounds harmless. But it was basically in the same way that we fantasize about jetpacks as the kind of the gateway to the future now.
Yeah.
In the 20s, people had this idea that you could strap a smaller sort of 40-foot diameter hot air balloon to your back. And there were no controls, there was no ballast, there was no gas venting. You would just leap into a strong wind. And actually, if you go on YouTube, and British Pathé have uploaded all their newsreels from from as they began, and you can see footage of guys skipping through fields being chased by a crowd, trying to, I mean, ahead, you know, it's the same way that we sort of imagine when you're a kid, like Superman, you know, the guy would become a new exciting area to explore. But of course, if you did get picked up with a wind, you were put down rather sharply as well.
Yes, it wouldn't be the flight that would injure you, it'd be the landing.
Yeah, exactly. If what? You even made it that far.
Pick another one for us, Ed.
I think one of the most exciting stories is they usually come out of Niagara. And when there was a real golden era of daredevilry, and the first person to ever go over the Niagara Falls inside a barrel, the men were too scared. And it was a retired school mom called Annie Edson Taylor, who tested the barrel first by putting her little black cat in. And when the cat survived, she wanted to make a name for herself. So her friends nailed her up on this barrel. They rowed her out to the top of the falls. And she plummeted. And, you can imagine something like sort of 4 million litres of water go over every second falls. It's a horrendous...
Whatever chance you would have going not in a barrel. I mean,
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people have done it. There are stories of people, you know, trying to sort of... I think even one tourist got blown over and survived. But these were people who just thought it would be fun and they were searching for adventure.
I might buy your book, and I think a decent addition to that would be a book chronicling the Darwin Awards, by the sounds of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where can people get their hands on the book, Ed?
It should be available everywhere. It's published by Simon & Schuster. And so it should be in your local bookshop.
And online, Amazon or anywhere like that?
And online, yep, Amazon and Waterstone should...
Superb, Ed. Listen, I'd say you had fun compiling it. It was a bit of crack anyway.
Yeah, great.
All right, Ed, thanks so much. That's Ed Brooke Hitching, which is not how he gets around. It's not a statement, it's actually his name. Ed Brooke Hitching. And his book is called Fox Tossing, Octopus Wrestling and Other Forgotten Sports. And by the sounds of it, some of them are best forgotten. Right, I'm joined in studio now by Orla O'Reilly, coordinator of a new support service for young carers in Donegal, and also Deputy Mayor Emma Rose Callaghan, isn't it, Emma? It is, of course. Firstly, to you, Orla, tell us about this initiative, because we were talking just briefly off air there. There are hundreds of carers, young carers, we can define that whichever way you like, but young nonetheless, according to the census, but there are a lot more that aren't captured in the census.
Yeah, and that's kind of an interesting point that we're starting from. The last census was the first time we really asked young people, are you a carer? So the official figure that we have from that is coming in around 280. But one of the problems that we have, or one of the difficulties, is that there's an awful lot of young people in our county who are putting a huge amount of hours and energy and effort into supporting someone in the family where there's an illness or a disability or an extra care need. And very often the young people aren't even aware that, I am a carer and
exactly,
I am taking
yeah.
care of someone.
Because how do you
family.
Define it, and at what stage do you become a carer as opposed to helping out
exactly,
and that type of
yeah.
thing? Yeah.
So then when you answer that, are you a young carer question, it's a very limited question. Mm-hmm. The research is telling us it could be as many as 1 in 10, 1 in 12 young people. So for County Donegal, we're looking at about 1,500 to 1,800 young carers is a more accurate picture.
A lot of these people may be doing their junior cert, leaving cert, or prepping for college, or maybe even deferring college because they're caring. It has a huge impact on what can already be a stressful time of life.
Yeah, and lots of impact on the decisions. Where will I go to college? Will that have a knock on? Have I the same choices? And even when we chatted about coming on the show this morning, some of the young carers themselves were quite interested in coming on, but have their heads down studying for exams.
We might get a couple of them in maybe down the line in the future, because it'd be really interesting to hear their stories, exactly what it's like. Because, you know, we can look at a census and get a figure, but sometimes you only really understand this by talking to people.
Yeah, it's not the real picture. And
so we'll talk about what supports you'll be providing. Emma Rose Callaghan, the Deputy Mayor of the Donegal Youth Council. What role is the council taking in this?
Well, as the council, we have had previous youth councillors sitting on the Young Carers Working Group. And we thought that this year we're going to carry it through because there was interest there within the Youth Council to support the Young Carers Working Group. So we were approached by the working group and we've decided to make a short film. And basically the aim of the film is to highlight the message of getting the message across of what a young carer is. And it's also there for us to help support the young carers and let them know what a young carer is. Because I think one of the difficulties is for actually identifying if you are a young carer.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not politicising this. I'm not expecting you to comment on it. But a lot of these people are, you know, they're working on behalf of the state effectively because, you know, in some cases, you know, the HSC would have to intervene or what have you. So they're doing amazing work. This video too, and this whole thing's important for awareness as well. The video, that's the drive behind that as well, isn't it? To recognise the work that these people are doing for their families, friends and the community.
Yeah, exactly.
Has and it been made yet?
Yeah, it has been made yet.
Is it available to watch?
Not yet. I haven't seen the finished cut of it, but I've seen a few different edits. But we're hopefully going to have our launch day on Wednesday. Mm. So this Wednesday coming, it's going to be launched.
Fantastic. And then will it be made available online so we can...
Yeah, hopefully we're going to be putting it online and it's going to be used through the different social media platforms. And hopefully then we're going to try and get it into more of a school environment. Mm. So maybe a SPHE teacher can use it in class when teaching.
And is it a film or is it in a series of interviews or what's the format of the...
It's a series of interviews. We interviewed three young people in Donegal who are young carers. And yeah, we just used a series of different interviews then to bring it all together.
As someone in their peer group, were you surprised at what they had to do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I don't think, as not being a young carer, you don't really realise there is a negatives and positives, and it's a great insight into... And I was one of the interviewers. I was interviewing some of the young carers, and there's a lot of deep content when you're interviewing, and it can be kind of tough, but
yeah, because there's the way life works is there's a certain age that you expect to reach that you're being cared for. And then, you know, maybe then you start caring for children of your own or what have you, but that can be flipped on its head, obviously, depending on life situations.
Yeah, and it can be something that happens very gradually. It's just, this is how life is in my family, so we're getting, you know, nearly getting on with things, or it can be quite a sudden change.
Who's providing this support service?
So this is through Donegal Youth Service.
Okay.
So I'm a youth worker with Donegal Youth Service, and November of last year, the working group that Emma Rose mentioned had... really a one-day conference to see, well, what can we do in County Donegal to support young carers? And there was a number of young people from different situations would be caring for grandparents, siblings, aunts, uncles, mum or dad, attended that day, and they said, well, this is what we think will be really good. So that's the plan and that's the model that the group follows.
And going forward, do people reach out to you? I presume, I mean, you can't really account for where the carers are. So you're offering your services, are you?
Yeah, so we have a group that meets on a fortnightly basis. We're actually meeting this afternoon after we leave here.
Bro.
And we're going down tomorrow to the Ireland versus England football game. So the group is around giving young carers a chance to get together and spend a bit of downtime with other young people that are sharing the same situation.
That's fantastic. So it's a bit of respite. The traditional sense maybe, but just a break,
yeah,
shower the head.
Yeah, downtime. And then we also offer individual support and a listening ear and planning making with the young care. So that's around the likes of, well, how will I manage the leaving cert in the middle of all of this? Or how will I fit in a part-time job?
And you can offer the advice, but also they can talk to other people in the same position and they can say, well, this is how I did it. And sometimes when you don't feel alone and isolated in a situation, well, it makes it more tolerable.
Exactly. And even to know, do you know, I'm not the only one.
Can I say one thing while I don't mean about, because there might be someone listening who is being cared for. Everyone does these things because they want to and love to, but it's about sort of making sure that it doesn't badly affect their life when they have a little break. It's not, we do these things because we want to do them. You know, it's not like people are a burden, effectively. I don't want to give that impression.
I think one of the main feedback that we're getting from the young people is, when we say, well, what is the impact of being a young carer? What they say is, I feel closer to my family.
Yeah.
I feel better able to deal with challenges. I feel more mature. So there's huge amounts of positives.
Mm.
And it's just making sure then that the supports are there to balance out the negative end of things as well.
Yeah. So how do people get in contact with you?
So our contact number is 074 91 296 30. So anyone can contact Donegal Youth Service there and leave a message or ask for Orla, or through any of the Young Carers Donegal Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So through the social media there, or call into the centre.
And Caring's a broad church. If you think you're part of that, ring up. You know, no one's going to be turned away. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't think, oh, well, I'm not doing it that many hours a week and blah, blah, blah. Get involved, at least
absolutely,
for the social aspect of it.
And the official launch of the group is Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock. So we have the group launch and the launch of
and
the
this
film.
Video of Emma Rose there. Callahan's interviewing skills.
And
oh, you're not looking for my job.
No, maybe. Watch yourself.
I'm about the fourth time she's been in here. I'm starting to get worried she'll sit in this seat soon.
So if anyone would like to come along to that launch, it's 10 o'clock Wednesday morning in the Donegal Youth Service headquarters on the Port Road in Letterkenny. And everyone's more than welcome to attend there and get some information and kind of see more about what's involved in the group.
Fair play, Orla. Fantastic work. And from your perspective, Emma Rose, from the Youth Council's perspective, it's great to see and it's great to be part of actually letting other people know the work that you're doing. And it's, you know, proper, constructive work, fantastic work in terms of mental health last year and now, you know, a big focus on carers and young carers this year.
Yeah, definitely. We've had a few different projects going. And the Young Carers Working Group video has been one of our main ones at the minute. We've also got our Shake Up Sport event, which is happening in Finn Valley on Friday. And it's basically one of the projects we're working on to get young people more involved in sports and all of that. And yeah, we've had a few different things going on.
Right, well, you keep us up to date. We'll pass it on. Thanks so much.
Definitely,
I'm just right up against the clock, but it's really great to see you in. That number, 9129360, really. That's
29630.
That's what I said, isn't it?
No.
Oh, right, okay. 29630.
Yeah.
It's on our Facebook and website anyway for people who want that. Orla O'Reilly, Emma Rose Callahan, both of you, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.